You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, we're having a good conversation. Let's finish this conversation. We were talking about Cal Raleigh, who is the catcher for Seattle. He is having a phenomenal season. He is currently hitting .276. He has 33 home runs and 71 RBIs. It is very realistic to think that he can hit 60 home runs this year and probably have 120 or something RBIs. Someone on the text line says, "CDOT, home runs are so common these days, and hitting 50 means little to nothing. It's just like dunks. Everyone can do it, so why would it be impressive?" Rob, do you know how many players have hit 50 home runs in this decade? We are halfway done with the decade. Do you know how many players have hit 50 home runs?
Is it
so
one?
Far?
Is it just Judge?
Three.
Okay.
Judge, Ohtani, and Matt Olson. Those are the three.
Big outlier
so,
there?
I'm saying, so the belief that everybody is hitting 50 home runs is simply not true. This is maybe the point that I have with all of this and just reading these texts. And maybe this is a small minority of people, and that's fine. I wonder if we allow athletes to capture our imagination the way that we let them when we were kids. For example, let's say, Rob, that you and I start talking about Lamar Jackson, for example. You agree that the text line would largely be filled with, he's never won a Super Bowl, he hasn't been good for the most part in the postseason. But then I think, I mean, isn't that the case for most of the athletes that we like growing up? I mean, Griffey doesn't have a World Series. Michael Vick was one of the most exciting players. Vick never got close to it. People love Allen Iverson, never really got close to a championship. Like, Charles Barkley never won a championship. A lot of really popular, fun players were not champions in that way. That I do feel like we used to celebrate certain things that maybe we just don't celebrate anymore. As I'm sitting here and I'm watching and I'm thinking, man, I remember when hitting 60 home runs would have been the absolute biggest story. But I wonder if we have just been, we are now more cynical about these kind of accomplishments. And do we care anymore about individual accomplishments? Or maybe it's much more of a career thing. When LeBron was becoming the all-time leader in points, it felt like a pretty big deal. A lot of people wanted to be there. He hit the big shot. It was a big thing. But I mean, like, on an individual basis or a player like this, what could capture our imaginations? I think Vern said it earlier. If a player got close to hitting 400, I do think it would be a pretty big deal. It would be something that you and I never thought we would see. If a player got remotely close to Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak and he got to 40 and he had to do another, 12 games or so, I do think people would get really, really excited. Maybe now, because of so much content, so much stuff to happen, the bar to excite us is so much higher. Like the guy was using the dunk analogy. Sometimes we see dunks in the dunk contest that are really incredible dunks. Like a guy throws it off the backboard, you catch it, do a 360 behind the back, and it's like, woo, whoop. Like, do you not understand how hard it is to do something like that? I do wonder if it's, we've all been watching sports for 20, 30, 40 years, so the bar to just capture our imagination is just so much higher than it was 20, 25 years ago.
And I think, I don't know, we see it totally different. I think we see it similar, Because I think everything you're describing is a symptom of the disease right now, that fans look forward to being cynics. We'll use Lamar Jackson. That's the example you use. Lamar Jackson is the modern-day Mike Vick. He is great. He is really fun to watch. He has won multiple MVPs. He is legitimately a superstar in football, and you can make an argument for a Hall of Fame caliber player. He is an enjoyable watch for 17 weeks on Sundays on your couch, and we can see him now because of television and social media more so than ever. But you're right. If we talk Lamar Jackson on this show, no one says, boy, is he fun to watch. They talk about how he can't win the playoffs. They can't talk about how he won a Super Bowl, how he's never been to a Super Bowl. It's the first thought in everyone's head is cynicism. And with Cal Raleigh, I think we're seeing that too.
But really quick, though, and I just wonder, like, I don't want to make it seem like it's just a fan thing. I also wonder if maybe that was the conversation back then. There just wasn't a vehicle for us to know what fans think as much. We do have to be fair. In 1995, how did you know what the average fan felt about things? It's now easier to know what fans think and what conversations is. And conversations that you might have been having in the barbershop or conversation with your friends are now conversations that you can just see out in public. I'm guessing people were really hard on Patrick Ewing back in the 90s. I'm guessing they were really hard on Reggie Miller back in the 90s. But there just wasn't a vehicle, there wasn't a platform for you to kind of express those things. So I do wonder if that's kind of the case when it comes to all those things. I think it's a lot of things. You know, I make this point all the time about instant replay. We spend more, like, sometimes in instant replay, we spend 5 minutes rewatching a really incredible play, trying to find out what was wrong about the play instead of admiring how cool it was. Think about when a guy makes an incredible catch on the sideline. We spend 5 minutes debating if he got his feet down, where I think in some ways we are trying to poke holes in amazing plays rather than just say, wow, that was like a really, really incredible, super athletic thing. There's a lot of things I love about sports. Part of it is I just like watching people do really athletic things that we can't do. Like, that's just really enjoyable to me. Like, a couple of weeks ago when they had that Fanatics Fest, I don't know if you saw that or not, in New York, they showed Tom Brady doing a three-point contest. And you might find this hard to believe. Tom was amazing at it. Like, wait, hold on. Like, you're the greatest quarterback ever. You're 40-something years old. You just pick up a basketball, and you shot, like, 60% from three wide open. I'm sitting there like, wow, you were just a really athletic person. I like the competition. I like the athleticism. I just wonder if maybe I view sports differently or if there's a lot of people that also view it like that we just don't hear from those people.
And you know what? I will credit, you're probably right. I think I may be vilifying social media a little bit here, but I think this is part of the problem too. And I think it serves my point. That Fanatics thing, they talked about it on First Take. And now it feels like those First Take talking head hot take shows are way more prevalent today than they were in 1995. Maybe in 1995, if, you know, Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp were yelling at each other, people would have been, you know, had a vehicle to be really down on Patrick Ewing. But you know what First Take and social media and First Things First and Get Up and all those things talking about after Fanatics Fest? It wasn't Tom Brady being good at three-point contest. What was the thing they talked about, Carrington? It was that Joe Burrow was bad at the things. So we went out of our way. The media folk, the social media folk, everyone went out of their way to, we saw two things happen at the Fanatics Festival. Fanatics Fest feels like an odd thing to say. Fanatics Festival. We saw Joe Burrow not be good at other sports. And we saw Tom Brady at 40 be really good at shooting a basketball. Which do you think led the ESPN shows? Which do you think grabbed more eyeballs on social media? If we clicked on their social media page, which got more views? I guarantee it's Burrow being bad because fans rushed to that before they rushed to the greatness. And I don't know if it's ESPN, Stephen A., the world we evolved in, social media. I don't know what the answer is, but it feels like we're more excited to run someone down than prop someone up.
Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, the last good thing that I saw was Tony Hawk doing a 1080 on a vert ramp. It's hard to top that. I would say that amazing things happen pretty routinely in sports. Just this weekend at Kauffman Stadium, we saw one person throw a pitch 101.7 miles per hour and also in that same baseball series hit a home run. There are not a lot of human beings that can do that. Just this past college football season, we saw a player basically never leave the field. Some of you played football at a really high level. Maybe you were a really good high school player. Maybe you played college. Maybe you had a chance to go to the pros. You know how hard it is to play corner at that level and then not take a break and then turn around and play wide receiver and also be really, really good at it? I would say that really amazing things happen all the time in sports. We've been really fortunate, I would say, in the last, let's say, 10 years to see some pretty amazing things. I mean, we've seen the fastest human ever. There's never been a human being who runs in a straight line faster than Usain Bolt. We have seen the greatest swimmer of all time. We have seen, some people think he's the greatest basketball player of all time. He's certainly in the short list of who could be the greatest basketball player. We see amazing things all of the time. And maybe in between all the arguing on whether this guy is clutch or not, or is this guy good enough to win a championship, sometimes we just need to step back and say, oh man, the people that are in these games that play are really, really incredibly athletically gifted. We talk all the time about youth sports on this show, right? Like, a lot of you have your kid signed up. Your kid ain't got no chance of getting to this level athletically. Like, it's really, really hard to get here, and it's even harder to have success at this level. And not just success, I mean be great at it. It's really, really hard to do. And for a guy to go back behind the plate and catch every day and then hit 50, 60 home runs this season just feels like something as a sports society we all should be celebrating a little bit more than I think we are with Cal Raleigh. Coming up on the other side, we will play for you guys what J.J. Piccolo had to say. He was on the Midday Show earlier today talking about the month of June for the Royals. Keep it right here, Mr. Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, host of the Random Royals lineup on 96.5 The Fan.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Got this.
All right. Earlier today, the general manager for your Kansas City Royals was on the Midday Show, and he certainly had some thoughts. We'll play them for you. Let's start with his first thought. Have things changed given the last month for the Royals?
No, not really. I mean, I think we're in a position where we're still competing to get into a wild card spot, and that's exciting. I think we we have the personnel right now that we should be optimistic that we can still compete. We play a lot of those teams that are, you know, in the mix with us in the coming weeks and months. So, you know, the hard part is, you know, you got a month of July until you get to the end of the trading deadline, and then you have another 60 games in August and September. And when we look at our roster and guys that we expect to have back at some point this season, we think our roster is just going to get better.
I guess, you know, like obviously some of those guys, including Cole Reagans, but like, do you, like if it's Michael Massey or some of these others, like are there, what's the hope around, I guess, the offense at the moment as far as getting those guys back? Because right now it seems like the hope is around just hoping guys hit better, JJ, versus like the options you have available to you in AAA.
Yeah, well, I think some of the guys that we have in the current lineup that are healthy and playing, I think their track record, you know, speaks for itself, and we can expect some progression there with the guys that we have. We also have some young guys that are going through this for the first time, whether it's Caglione or John Rave. You know, they're going through some typical early career struggles that we see with a lot of good hitters in the game. Guys that became very good hitters and very good major league players. So there's reason to think within the group that we have, it's, you know, it's typically 13 on any given night, that we can get better with the guys that we have. And it's just trying to stay positive. You know, we examine our processes all the time, and, you know, just talking to our players on a very regular basis, you know, they're looking at themselves in the mirror and saying, you know, we got to go out and do it because our processes are right. And they're the same processes that we've had success in the past.
Look, it's no secret. You know, the month of June didn't go the way you guys would have wanted. Fans obviously didn't like what happened in the month of June. Is it tough to, I guess, when you look at where the organization sits, to still have the morale high, to still have confidence, to still believe that this, and keep everybody believing that this can still happen this year?
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a team that made an incredible jump from 23 to 24 and gained a lot of confidence and did things that people didn't believe that we could do. So I don't know why we would think any differently right now. You know, it's an emotional roller coaster that we can be on. And when we're winning games, people are excited. And is this the game to turn things around, and et cetera? And then when you lose three or four in a row, is this the end of the season? You know, my job and the front office job and the coach's job is to eliminate that noise and just worry about today. You know, we can't control what's happened in the past. You know, the first 80 some games, they're done. You know, what we can do is focus on today and how we win a game tonight and build off of that and keep this thing moving forward. And I believe in our coaches, I believe in our players, and, you know, we just have to stay positive and know that you're one good run away from being back square in the middle of this thing. And that's where our optimism lies. I think that's the way we should think as an organization. You know, our fans have been turning out at the ballpark to watch our team play. So clearly, you know, they are excited to come to the field, and that excites us and motivates us. And it's our job now to just try to get this thing moving in the right direction. But it starts, you know, one brick at a time, you know, and tonight's that brick that's got to get laid, and then you just keep building off of that.
You'd mentioned Jack Caglione has been a rocky start for him so far in his early big league career. I guess specifically before we talk about like options and like what makes sense for him as far as lineup goes, what specifically are you guys seeing in his approach? I don't know if it's just the ground out seem a little higher or those things. What are you guys seeing right now that he needs to work on?
Well, to be very candid about it, his minor league peripherals, the batted ball profile, very, very similar to what he's doing in the major leagues. The chase rates were a tick up in the minor leagues. He's always been very aggressive. He's got incredible reach, so he can get to those balls away. I think what is happening right now is exactly what the major leagues is about. Pitchers can repeat pitches. They can go in pitch after pitch. They can go up pitch after pitch. And now it's up to the player to learn from those experiences and from those at-bats, and how can I be a little tighter with my zone? And that's something we discussed well before, publicly and privately, before Cags got called up, that was going to be the challenge. We just got to keep him positive as well and keep going. That's why we keep running him out there. You know, and we're very optimistic that there's going to be a stretch of the bats where you're going to see that he starts to figure this thing out. But again, it's very typical. But when you look at, I'm not talking about numbers, homers, RBI. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about his process and how hard he hits the ball, his ground ball rates. They are all very similar to what we've seen in his minor league career.
Alex and I both think it'd be a mistake, but there's no like internal conversation about like, hey, if this continues for another 30 days, maybe we get him back in AAA and work through those things. Right now, this is a work through at the big league level thing, right?
Yeah, we don't discuss that on a regular basis. You know what it is? It's night to night. You know, we saw some signs on the last road trip where he did have some, I'll say, results that we wanted in the homers he hit in Texas. And then he went to San Diego and he hit the ball really well, but was a bit unlucky. A couple line drive outs, a couple of balls that were, you know, really squared up where he's played perfectly. Hit a couple balls foul that were homers. They were just foul. So they're foul balls, you know, they don't count, but they're the things that we saw and say, okay, he's starting maybe to come through this. And then the pitchers kept repeating pitches. So you got to give this thing some time. You know, it's very, very natural. I can name several players over the, you know, the Royals history that I've been here that have gone through some similar things. And we wouldn't have brought him up if we didn't believe that he could work through these tough times that, you know, he's going to go through at some point. So we're going to be very patient and give him the opportunity he needs.
Thinking of fans and where they're at and the range of emotions, obviously, that happen, being a fan of a baseball team that obviously has had very high expectations for the season and to this point, of course, not on pace to meet those. Some look at the hitting staff, some look at a hitting coach in particular and say, hey, what's going on there? Should there be a change? What would your response be to those fans?
Yeah, we know what's going on internally. Again, I mentioned this, you know, earlier in this interview. You know, we talk to players all the time. You know, what do you need? What are you thinking? You know, there is a very positive feeling about our processes from a hitting perspective. The relationships are really, really deep. You're talking about guys from the first day that they signed a professional contract with the Royals. You know, they've pretty much known one person or two people that are on our major league staff. And that's why they believe in those coaches. And that's why we believe in those coaches. What we need to do is just keep asking the questions, keep probing, you know, trying to find nuggets that will help players get out of it. Our players, again, are very, very accountable. You know, they understand how this thing works. And there's a strong belief in our coaches, whether it be our managers, our hitting coaches, our pitching coaches. There is a strong belief that these are the right people. And yeah, we just have to be supportive and work through these things.
When you look at just one other question about the hitting, JJ, since we've got you, the overall team power, I know we've talked about the offensive numbers. Do you guys have a sense of like where that's gone? You guys weren't like a, you know, prodigious power team last year. You ranked 20th in baseball and homers, but this year dead last. Where do you guys think the power numbers are going? I know Kauffman plays a part a little, but this has got to be a little bit lower than you guys were thinking.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we don't build our teams around power for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, when you think about why does a player or a team not hit homers, a lot of it comes down to just pitch selection. I mean, if you're swinging at bad pitches, it's very difficult to get off a good swing. If you're swinging at good pitches, you got a better chance to get off a good swing. And now it comes down to timing and the sequence of your swing. And if you're doing that on a good pitch, then you have a chance to hit drive a ball, doubles, homer, whatever. You know, that's as simple as it is. And I think the numbers will show you that our chase rates are higher this year than last year. And I think that leads to the lack of power, even from a team that wasn't counting on homers last year. You're going to see a regression, and you see a regression in doubles. You see a regression in slug. You see a regression in on-base percentage. And that's where the focus has been. You know, we on a regular daily basis go through the at-bats. You know, we get information every night, not only through video, but here are your at-bats. You know, where did you win this at-bat? Where did you lose this at-bat? And probably 95% of it comes down to getting a good pitch to hit. So you start doing that more consistently, the homers will tick up.
That was JJ Piccolo earlier today. He was on the midday show. I would encourage you to check out the entire interview, or if you missed any part of it, be sure to check it out on the podcast page, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. I asked Rob to do one thing for me today. I didn't need a whole lot. I just asked Rob to do one thing for me today. I wanted to summarize the month of June in just a 2-minute clip. We didn't need to spend much longer than 2 minutes. You can get a lot accomplished in 2 minutes. I just wanted Rob to just sum up, because maybe you haven't been keeping up with the Royals of late. Maybe you just got back from vacation and you just turned on the show. I want to say I hope you had a great trip and thank you for coming back. But maybe you just been busy the last couple of weeks and you just took a glance at the standings and you were a little confused on what happened with the Royals. Well, here is the 2-minute summary of the month of June of the Royals.
Now the Royals need a long ball or an extra base hit. The 0-1 pitch. Slow roller passed off the mound toward the first baseline, underhands to first. We have had back-to-back 1-0 games.
2-1 pitch, swing, and a liner to left center. That's a hit. Drew Waters into play. Nootbaar coming around third. The throw is late, and the Cardinals win it. 6-5. They walk it off here in the bottom of the 10th inning.
In comes the pitch, and there goes the pitch. Deep, deep, deep left field and gone. My goodness. That thing just exploded off his bat. Pitch, line drive, off the tip of the glove of Pasquantino. Runner going to try to score. They throw to first. Safe there. Now runner coming home. The throw rolls away from Fermin. And runners end up at first and third. What a zany play.
Infield is shallow. The pitch. And a swing and a grounder toward the middle. Bobby has it. He throws home. Safe, and the Padres win it.
The 1-2 to Ohtani in a high drive. Deep right center. Back goes Caglione to the wall and gone. Ohtani. And the Royals with a golden opportunity to win it. The pitch. Ground ball, second base. Not a double play ball necessarily. Second one, first base. They got the double play.
The Royals drop the opener to the Mariners by a final score of 6-2, and the Royals are more than happy to put a dreadful month of June behind them.
I just wanted to have something put together so we could remember a month that we don't want to remember. I'm sure plenty of you went out to Kauffman Stadium this past month and, you know, you spent the $20, $30 to park, you bought the tickets, you went out there, it's a little hot, it's a little sticky, your kid was complaining around the fourth inning, and you sat there and watched the Royals lose 5-2. I mean, they did that plenty of nights out at Kauffman Stadium, and I want you to know that I'm with you. I stand right here with you, and I encourage you to just quite simply keep your head up. I mean, brighter days are ahead of us. We will get through this together, but only if we do this together. That is it. Only if we do this together will we get through this. Rob, let's talk about this, because I don't actually think we have talked about this yet. So, you know how a couple of weeks ago we discussed the NFL all quarter century team, and they picked their three quarterbacks. One was Brady, two was Manning, three was Patrick Mahomes. Now, maybe you would put Mahomes at second and you put Manning at third. I'm not here to argue this. But our dear friend, Sam Munson, friend of the show, said that he believes that Aaron Rodgers has been a better quarterback over the last however many years than Patrick Mahomes. And it got me thinking, at least from this perspective. And I don't know if we factor this part in a whole lot when we are discussing players in our evaluations. If you are arguing that the best version of Aaron Rodgers has been better than the best version of Patrick Mahomes, I think that is a very fair argument. I mean, there was a stretch there from Aaron Rodgers where he was absolutely magnificent. And I don't want to let his personal beliefs or how he acts or his personality, I don't want that to cloud my remembrance of how good Aaron Rodgers was as a starting quarterback in the league. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had a season in which he threw 30 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions. He had another season in which he threw 45 and 6 picks, 39 and 8 interceptions, 40 and 7. He had a season in 2020, the COVID year, that the numbers were just always quirky from that season. He completed 70% of his passes, had 48 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions. He was incredible at his absolute peak. So if your argument is the best version of Aaron Rodgers as the player is a better player than Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that's a crazy stance to have. But if you are asking which quarterback you rather have on your team, I do think that is a crazy argument, and I don't think you could argue Rodgers over Mahomes. And I don't even really think that it's a who won more championships, because a lot of the argument is, well, Mahomes was drafted to a perfect situation. He got drafted to a great, stable organization. He got Andy Reid as his head coach. And if you had given Aaron Rodgers Bill Belichick in 2011, how many championships would he have? Or if you gave Aaron Rodgers Andy Reid, how many championships would he have? I think that's unfair, but okay, I'm willing to give you that. People really seem to like Patrick Mahomes on a personal level. That matters at his job. It might not matter at some job. Like, I don't know if everybody likes Tyreek Hill at times or everybody likes a certain running back, but you usually don't follow those players. Your quarterback is a leader, whether he wants to or doesn't want to be. You're the person that communicates the most in the huddle. You are the player that everybody is depending on. There is a feeling around that player. There is no question that if we are giving out a Madden rating when it comes to those two things, that Mahomes is way ahead of Aaron, and that is a massive, massive difference. That relationship that you build Monday through Saturday, that matters on Sunday. That matters. The fact that people really like one of the players, wants to be around him, wants to hang out with them, believe in him, will follow him, matters compared to the other person. So if we are comparing it solely from a, all right, who plays football better standpoint, yeah, I think it's an argument. But I think you have to remember that it's just not numbers on a computer screen. They're people. They're people. So you can have two kickers that both kick at 90%. Harrison Butker's percentage against this guy. Well, all right. Well, now it's 3 seconds left, and we need both of these guys to kick a 47-yard field goal. There's one person you trust more than the other person based on a bunch of different factors. I think when it comes to Patrick Mahomes, and why I think, at least if you are making the argument of over the last 25 years or so, who has been the better quarterback, I think it's beyond just the numbers. I think it's beyond the personal accomplishments. I think it also is who is better suited to lead a team, whose personality is better suited to lead a team. Who do you trust more in high leverage situations? And I think that matters. And I think why, at least in this argument, we are comparing those two individuals, it is not a question to me who you rather have. You rather have Patrick Mahomes than you rather have Aaron Rodgers.
I agree with you. I wonder, though, when did that change for Rodgers? Because maybe it's just we learned more about Rodgers, but if it was 2015, 2012, 2013, the guys that played for Aaron Rodgers seemed, at least to me, to love Aaron Rodgers. Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson. We can call Jordy Nelson right now. I'm sure he would say, yeah, Aaron Rodgers was a good teammate. I mean, who was the Alan Lazard? Like, all those guys he put up with the Jets, basically. Devontae Adams always spoke glowingly of his time with Aaron Rodgers. Like, you're right. Patrick Mahomes is a better person, better leader, and those things matters. When did that change for Aaron Rodgers? Because I think if we were doing the show 12 years ago, and it's 2013, and me and you were talking about Aaron Rodgers, we're going to talk about how Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and Al Lazard, and this group of, you know, James Jones, Greg Jennings, this group of wide receivers seems to really like Aaron Rodgers. When did this pivot? Is it just Aaron Rodgers went to the Jets? Aaron Rodgers started doing more podcasts? Because you're right, but I don't think that was always the case.
Yeah, but I would say, though, and someone says, sure, Mahomes is better, but I think you're letting how Rodgers acted. Did he have those complaints when he was great? Maybe he didn't have those complaints, but it was pretty widely known that Aaron Rodgers didn't really communicate with his family. Like, that kind of stuff was widely known. We were talking about that when Rodgers was that guy. Hey, Rodgers doesn't really talk to his brother. Rodgers doesn't really get along with his parents. Like, there is a fracture in that relationship. I think all of that stuff matters if we are having these conversations about who you rather have be your leader in these moments and in these situations. And I would say, to your comment about, oh, well, we sang this win, I haven't really seen many of those guys kind of come to Aaron's defense as it's happened. Like, right now, I think we agree. If people were taking shots at Mahomes, it would be people lining up to be like, that's not my experiences with Patrick Mahomes. He's always been stand-up. He's always been this. He's always been that. I mean, a lot of people have taken shots at Aaron Rodgers' character over the last 5-6 years or so. Have you seen a whole lot of Jordy Nelson standing up to defend Aaron Rodgers? Have you seen a whole lot of former teammates being like, no, that's not how it was? It kind of reminds me of, remember a few years ago whenever Kyler Murray was signing that deal? And remember how we were all laughing that they basically were like, hey, you play too much Call of Duty? I didn't hear a whole lot of former Arizona Cardinals like, this is nonsense. He doesn't need this. As things have evolved with Rodgers, and you're right, I don't necessarily kind of know when it was. I mean, it feels like COVID is kind of that point, but I also feel like you can go a little bit earlier. It's also when the Packers drafted Jordan Love. Because at that point, while Aaron Rodgers is still, at that point, one of the three best quarterbacks in the league, the Packers pretty clearly told you, hey, we're moving on soon. And if you're him, and now it has really happened full circle, where you remember you were that player, like you were Jordan Love at one point, it does feel like in that moment, he went from being Aaron Rodgers to being a former Brett Favre in a lot of different ways. I wonder if that was kind of that pivotal moment. I'm not here to tell you that Rodgers is a good person, bad person. I don't know Aaron Rodgers. But I do think we have enough of who would you rather have leading your team? You know one thing I know Patrick Mahomes would never do? He would never leave in the middle of camp to go film a documentary. Like, that stuff matters. I don't care about the numbers. That's just part of being a good teammate. And I always say teams take on the personality of your leader. If your leader doesn't think this time is important enough to craft his schedule around, I think that energy feeds to the rest of everybody else. You're telling me Aaron Rodgers is going to lead the Pittsburgh Steelers. He didn't show up until the end of June. We're about done. Hey, we've been doing all of this team stuff together and our quarterback just showed up. I think that stuff matters. I don't care what commercials Holmes has going on, family stuff. You know what he's always there for? Team activities. Because that stuff matters. And not just the team activities. You know, why don't you guys come to hang out with me and we'll do more team activities? I think that stuff really matters if you were going to be the person who is in charge. And he is the person in charge on the field. Yes, there's a person in charge on the sideline. But in a group of people, there is one person that holds people accountable. There is one leader. One person is significantly better at it than the other person that I think is just hard to solely look at there on the field. I think you got to look at all the other stuff, too, if you were trying to evaluate who the better quarterback is. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the Chiefs. There's a contract projection for Trent McDuffie, also for Trey Smith. We'll go through it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right. I want to read a couple of things to you guys, and we can go over them. Let's start with Trey Smith, because his contract seems like the one that needs to be handled with and dealt with first. As much as I would pay Trent McDuffie, they do have some time to pay Trent McDuffie. Like, they're not under the gun the way that they are with the Trey Smith deal. So the projection that is on Arrowhead Pride is 4 years, $86 million with $60 million guaranteed. To go through the little blurb, given his leverage, he should top Landon Dickerson's $21 million a year salary. The question comes down to guarantees. Quentin Nelson has the top mark at $60 million, and we believe that Trey Smith is going to ultimately top that. Now, Rob, I know that you and I are not two people that would give a right guard this money. We don't have to have the positional value argument, because you and I agree. I would not give Trey Smith 4 years, $86 million, and $60 million guaranteed when we are sitting here debating if they should pay a cornerback that. I just don't think that that's great positional value. But the Chiefs disagree with me, and they're ultimately the ones that make the decisions. I'm the one that just gives my opinion. They're the general managers. I'm just the guy on the radio. But, I mean, if you want to keep Trey Smith, I mean, this feels about right to me. I mean, this is kind of what it costs. I mean, they've kind of already gone down this. I think this is a deal that if you're Trey Smith, you obviously want to sign too. Trey Smith has made no money from a football standpoint. I mean, you were a sixth-round pick. Your career earnings up to this point, I mean, it's $6 million, which, I mean, obviously it's a whole lot of money. I don't want to downplay it's a whole lot of money. But when you've been a all-pro, Pro Bowl, high-end starter, getting $6.5 million for 4 years of work, you have not made real money yet. Now, you are under the franchise tag, so you are about to get a significant raise. I mean, we're talking about a almost 400% raise for you this upcoming season at $23.4 million. But look beyond just the $23.4 million. If you sign this new contract, it guarantees you $60 million. That's why when we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, I was a little bit surprised that he even went to camp. I wouldn't be going to camp if we're in the middle of negotiating a $60 million deal. I think it was a sign of good faith on both sides, and it was also a sign that the negotiations, I think, are going very well. The Chiefs seem to value flexibility from a cap standpoint. There is no flexibility, you being the only team in the league that has a player on the franchise tag, and that player plays right guard for you. So I think it is in both sides' best interest to go get a deal done. If you're Trey Smith, you can lock up $60 million guaranteed. You want to talk about generational wealth? That's it. You can sign that contract at 25 years old and be set up for the rest of your life and really help a lot of people in your family and the community if that's what you want to do. And if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you also create the cap flexibility where you don't have $23.4 million in salary cap space tied up and locked up into one player that you can't finesse and move around. So a lot of times deadlines make deals. And also, if both teams are eager to make a deal, that normally gets one done. I think we'll see some conclusion to this coming up at some point in the next 3 weeks. I believe somewhere on July 19th, we'll see a tweet that they are getting close to a deal. And then a couple hours later, we'll actually get the confirmation that Trey Smith and the Chiefs have agreed to a long-term extension that make him the highest paid interior offensive lineman in the National Football League.
Is there a date and time where you'd get concerned that tweet isn't coming? Because we talked about it with Chris Jones. We talked about it with Orlando Brown. We talked about a lot of guys as they entered camp. Hey, the clock's ticking. We haven't really talked about it with Trey Smith. Now, that's largely because he signed his franchise tag basically immediately. He said, I'll take that money, no doubt about it. Sign me up. Is there a time where you think, this is becoming concerning that he hasn't signed an extension? Because I would imagine, and I'm not Trey Smith, I'm not Trey Smith's agents. If I'm Trey Smith's group, though, I'm saying, hey, this contract that's way beyond what you should pay a right guard is in hand. It's done. Ink has dried. That's ours. We don't have any rush to get a long-term deal done. You do. So do you have a date and time? You say like around July 19th, we get a tweet. Oh, keep an eye on this. Is there a date where if you haven't seen that tweet, you start to get a little concerned that it's not coming?
I mean, the moment Trey Smith shows up to work, that ends the negotiations. Why are we negotiating? You've already said you're coming to work. Now, I don't think he is holding out. If you didn't hold out from the mini camp just a couple of weeks ago, you're not holding out. So this is the deal that in theory should be done in 3 weeks. Their first day of training camp is July 22nd. If he is not under contract by July 22nd, I just don't think they're reaching that agreement.
Be fair, he is under contract right now. He signed the franchise tag. He is under contract. He doesn't have a long-term contract.
I know, but I'm saying is, you immediately sign the franchise tag and you already have been showing up to work. So if you then show up to work on July 22nd, I don't really know what other leverage you've already. Hey, I'm cool with playing under the franchise tag this year. If you weren't cool with signing with the franchise tag, you would have waited and waited and waited. You didn't have to go to mandatory camp if you didn't want to. There's no fines if you're not under contract. He could not be at training camp if he doesn't want to without a long-term extension. Now, eventually, there becomes that deadline where you can't negotiate a deal anymore. And then at that point, you are only really hurting yourself, but you don't got to show up to work until you actually put pen to paper. So the fact that he signed it almost instantly and has been a part of things, I think to what you just said is he seems like he's cool with playing under the franchise tag this year. Where, I mean, the worst case scenario for Trey Smith is, I mean, it's not a bad option. It's $23 million guaranteed. Where if you're his agent, you're saying, hey, don't think about the 23. I think I can get you double this amount. Like, we're talking about Trey Smith signing a deal that guarantees him at least $50 million. That's at a minimum. And I would argue that's the low end of guaranteed money. So, yeah, I would say at some point that week before. So if the Chiefs go to work on July 22nd, somewhere in that 16th, 17th, 18th, somewhere in that realm, the week before they go to camp next week, we see an announcement, we see a tweet that the Chiefs have agreed to a long-term extension for Trey Smith. Again, because I think both sides want a deal done. I think Trey Smith wants to be in Kansas City. He also wants $60 million guaranteed. And if you're the Chiefs, they franchise tag Snead and never had any interest in. It was always about the trade. That's all we talked about was the trade. I think the Chiefs want to keep Trey Smith. So if you want to keep him, you got him under the franchise tag. He is an anchor right now on your salary cap. There's a way not to make him an anchor. Move some money around. You go ahead and pay him a little bit up front. You get his cap number down in the short term. You keep him under contract for the next 3 years. You continue to keep your right side together. And you feel like you got a good foundation of kind of where you are for the future, not just this year, but 2026, when inevitably you're going to have more shuffling. You don't have a right tackle for 2026. So you at least want to keep some level of continuity. And I think that Trey Smith is a part of that continuity. All right, coming up at the other side, June is done for the Kansas City Royals. And we just talked about a Trey Smith possible extension. We'll also get back to talking about Trent McDuffie. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.